I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, cleaning up Seattle's drug crisis is actually pretty easy, and the feds are showing our local leaders how it's done. Plus, new documents show the state of Washington has spent $50,000 of your money trying to keep me and other independent journalists from getting a press pass, and our case is just at the very early stages. And local NPR station KUOW lies about the initiative to protect girls' sports. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Welcome to a very rare Friday live show. We just, you know, we didn't have enough of you this week, and we missed Monday, Tuesday traveling, so thought we'd throw on a Friday live show. And it's a good thing, because a lot of stuff has happened this morning, and there's some things I have got me pretty fired up, I shall say, for a Friday. And we didn't even know where to start the show, because there's so much good stuff. You know, the drug crisis in Seattle has been going on for a very long time. There's a lot of different things that have fed it, but I believe our permissive policies around open air substance abuse have made it a very attractive place for the drug cartel to bring narcotics. I mean, we had a period of time where, you know, drug possession was de facto legalized for a long period of time. Police have been instructed to be pretty hands-off on drug abusers. And then you add into that, we had that policy, the no pursuit policy. So if you were drug cartel, you could traffic drugs into our state. And when the cops tried to pull you over, you could just flee. So there was really no risk of arrest. It is not a surprise that this became one of the favorite destinations for fentanyl coming up from the southern border. So I went down very recently. We aired a series on what the city of Seattle is trying to do to the open air drug markets ahead of the World Cup. And our friend Jonathan Cho, who covers these issues more than anyone else, he took me to two locations where it seems like the city of Seattle is trying to keep kind of the downtown core clear of the homeless drug abusers. So they're pushing them a little to the north. And then, of course, they're pushing them to the Chinatown International District. And so I had gone out with Jonathan Cho, and we went into this park that is very close to the Chinatown International District, where there were Honduran drug dealers and drug users by the dozens.
At any point you're not comfortable, any point you're just...
And do people know you up here?
Maybe. Look at everyone doing Fetty. There's fentanyl oil everywhere. Notice how they're just staring at us. So.
Do you go here? Like, does this lead anywhere?
Yeah, there's a path in the back.
Are we going to be okay?
Yeah. Fellas. No, I don't need Fetty. It's all good. Those are the Hondos.
Yeah.
Watch your step here.
So we talked about the Hondos, and I've heard about them for a long time because Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle, who's out dealing with homeless people and drug addicts all the time, has talked to some of these Hondurans who are in the country illegally, who not only sling drugs on the streets to people, but they also, I mean, they're involved in a variety of other things. These Honduran gang members tied to the cartel. I mean, they're even operating those unlicensed hot dog carts down by the stadiums, just getting everybody sick with undercooked meat and unrefrigerated meat. And it's because there's this permissive environment where you can get away with criminal activity, but you can also get away with criminal activity as an illegal alien. In other states, you know, that's why they're coming here. We're a sanctuary jurisdiction. We're a sanctuary for drug abusers and all of these things. And so for an illegal alien who wants to sling narcotics and, you know, to people on the streets, what better state is there than Washington? And so that park that I mentioned, it's about a half a mile from 12th and Jackson, which has become in the middle of Little Saigon. It has become one of the worst displays of open air drug use in the entire United States of America. And it's being fed in part by these illegal alien drug pushers. Here's a clip.
The CID is still part of the downtown core, but you don't have the DSA people here. Mm-hmm. How come? Why don't we have the same priority and outreach? How come? 12th and Jackson, Little Saigon, we're surrounded by drug addicts. They're not homeless. They're out here just to do drugs. I mean, this is the chaos and hell we're going to be going into.
The guy in the wheelchair knows me. He's pulling out his cell phone. Need a ratchet set? Good. Hey, Grandma. What are you selling? Chocolates. How much are chocolates?
$2.
What's up, guys?
People look at 12th and Jackson and will immediately think that's a homeless issue. But the vast majority of the people there have housing. But it's turned into a community hangout where people can buy drugs, sell stolen goods, you know, sling more drugs. So this culture out here needs, and this open-air drug market needs to be broken up. We need more officers out here. We need more patrols. We need people, you know, we need foot patrols. I haven't seen any cops. We've been on the streets today.
They've been in cars, but yeah, not in cars.
But they're not coming out on the ground, and that's what we need more of here. Otherwise, this continues to flourish.
Yeah, and in a sane place, I mean, that wouldn't be allowed to continue. But you go down 12th and Jackson, that's what it looks like down there every single day. And it's being fed in part. I mean, look, there's more than just illegals slinging drugs on our streets. But we know, as a matter of fact, if you actually go down there and talk to people, that there are illegal aliens who are contributing in great part to our drug crisis. We also know, as I said, that this has become a place where Mexican drug cartel are more than happy to bring drugs and feel safe in doing so. Now, I bring this up because, you know, we played a clip on the show yesterday of Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson being asked specifically by Fox 13's Hannah Kim about the crisis at 12th and Jackson. And I mean, it's her answer just shows her lack of leadership, but there's definitely an angle of this that she's not willing to touch.
That area has gotten worse.
Oh, yeah.
Under your watch. I've seen it.
We're working on a plan. What are we doing about that really quick?
Well,
that's not, there's nothing really quick about that answer.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that I do think, what I do support is we can't have that, right?
And
so
we can't have that.
Establishing like really clear guidelines for our public space, right? And being willing to enforce those. But being willing to enforce those doesn't mean that we think that just arresting everyone and putting them into jail is going to like solve anyone's problems, mm-hmm. right?
I think it would solve a lot of problems, actually, if you arrest people and put them in jail. But, you know, and she talked about the drug issue and all of this. But there's one thing the city of Seattle will not acknowledge, will not touch, will not even factor into the equation. And that's illegal aliens and the extent to which our sanctuary policies are creating an even worse crisis and killing Washingtonians on our streets. You know who will acknowledge that? The DEA and the federal government under President Donald Trump. You know, the Seattle Police Department will go out and make drug busts. But they're not going to tell you if the person who is slinging drugs is an illegal alien. Only the feds will do that because, oh, we can't say that. It's unpopular. So the DEA released this press release. Illegal alien unlawfully present in the U.S. sentenced to 6 years in prison for trafficking fentanyl and cocaine in homeless encampments and Seattle's Chinatown International District. Now, had this been a Seattle Police Department press release, they might have bragged about it, but they would never have written illegal alien. They never would have put anything in there about the fact that he's a Mexican national, that he was in the country illegally. So it says a 37-year-old Mexican national, he formerly lived in Issaquah. He was in the country illegally, but he was living in Issaquah, sentenced to 6 years for his role in an armed drug trafficking ring that sought drug customers in Seattle's homeless encampments and the International District. His name is Giovanni Antonio Garduna Garcia. He was arrested in May of 2025, just got this prison sentence, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, possession of a firearm. So again, you know, there is this lie by omission. And it's part of the reason I think you have really anyone who thinks sanctuary policies are a good idea is even the police departments here are conditioned to hide the extent to which illegal aliens contribute to the criminal crisis happening on our streets. You know, the politicians won't tell you. The politicians force the police departments not to tell you. And we already know the media ain't going to tell you if it's an illegal alien. They didn't tell you when it was an illegal alien who killed a cop. They don't tell you when it's an illegal alien who rapes a child. They won't tell you when it's an illegal alien driving a truck with a CDL given to him by a blue state that smashes into a car and kills a father and his young child. So you have all these people hiding it. No wonder they think sanctuary policies are no big deal. They have no idea, but the public at large, the extent to which illegal aliens are killing people on our streets, committing crimes, etc. So a little bit more about this, because it wasn't just this one guy. It's a ring of illegals that are killing. If they want to believe we're empathetic to the homeless, the progressives think they're so empathetic to the homeless. If you were empathetic to the homeless, you would support ICE and the federal government getting the illegal alien drug pushers the hell out of our country. But they don't actually care about the homeless. And that just proves it, right? So this was a broader investigation that involved more than just this individual. So on May 29th, 2025, law enforcement executed 16 search warrants in Federal Way, Vancouver, Washington, Everett, Pacific, Tukwila, Kent, Issaquah, Seattle, Woodlake, and in California and in Oregon. They seized more than 7 kilos of cocaine, 18 kilos of meth, more than 57,000 fentanyl pills, and 17 firearms. They also seized more than $350,000 in cash. It says the scope of the drug trafficking scheme involving all the defendants was huge. In March of 2025 alone, law enforcement seized 100 pounds of meth, 111 kilos of cocaine, 19 kilos of fentanyl, a lot, okay? Street value of the narcotics was $3 million. So in the press release, there's a couple quotes in here I want to bring to your attention. I think the first assistant U.S. attorney in Seattle, Neil Floyd, makes a really good point. He says, this defendant trafficked drugs for the money. He lived in the Seattle suburbs with high-end cars, drugs, and $93,000 in cash stashed in his residence. He enjoyed the high life while spreading misery in the form of fentanyl and cocaine to those gripped with addiction, and he did so armed with firearms and body armor. The community will be safer after he serves his sentence and is returned to his home country of Mexico. And that's common sense. What person? There's so many people in our state who support all these sanctuary policies, but one person would say that the illegal alien Mexican national who was here killing people on our streets with hard drugs, who was living the high life in Issaquah, should get to stay here. They also included, and I thought this was interesting, a quote from Seattle Police Chief Sean Barnes. This man tormented our Chinatown International District neighborhood and the broader Seattle community. He targeted some of our city's most vulnerable residents, which is reprehensible. I am incredibly proud of our officers and federal partners for this tireless work on this case and bringing this criminal to justice. But if it were solely up to the Seattle Police Department, they never would have told you he was illegal. And I've heard rumblings at some DEA press conferences that the brass at SPD doesn't want to be there, even if their officers worked really hard as part of these cooperative investigations, because they're scared of the optics of working with the federal government to arrest illegal aliens who are committing crimes in our community. So the answer to the drug crisis is simple. You enforce the laws that are already on the books. And when you can get help, especially in a city that's down 700 officers, from the federal government to not only arrest these drug pushers, but remove them from the country, you take that help with open arms. A sane city would do that. A sane state would do that. You would go the extra mile to say, by all means, DEA, ATF, ICE, DHS, if you want to help us get drug traffickers, child molesters, murderers off the streets of our state, we would more than welcome the help. But we're not living in sane times. We're not living in a sane place. So we're going to let illegals who come into our country sling drugs that kill people on our street, destroy the quality of life, hurt businesses, and we're going to act like what we're doing is just absolutely ridiculous. All right. Super fired up. Some new documents show the extent of your money the state of Washington is paying to try to keep me and Ari Hoffman and Jonathan Cho from having a press pass. We'll discuss. First, if you're a small to mid-size landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org. It is Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. They can help you on an individual basis. They can also help if you need to try to keep up to date on like the changing rules and regulations at the local, county, and state level. But they're also fighting some pretty important property rights cases right now alongside clients, and they are advocating on your behalf for sane housing policy all year long. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, it is Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. You can tell when I'm really fired up because I talk so fast and then I just cannot speak. Slow down, Brandy. Enunciate your words. So our friend Ari Hoffman emailed us this morning. And of course, Ari, me, Jonathan Cho, we've been going through this battle with the state of Washington because they denied us press passes in the state house this year. 15 years covering politics in Washington state. I guess when I started giving my opinion, they didn't take too kindly to it, and they tried to find any reason they could to deny us press passes, which there's so many elements to this. I don't have to rehash all of it right now. You know, the denials, the reason for the denials varies. For Jonathan Cho, it's because he works for a think tank, Discovery Institute, even though he also contributes to other media organizations. For me and Ari Hoffman, it's because we support the Let's Go Washington initiatives, and we have the audacity to use our platforms as protected by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution to say that we support those initiatives. So they think that's just a step too far. So Democrats in the House refuse to grant us press passes with help from the legacy media, with help from our friends in the legacy media who don't like the competition and who are trying to gatekeep, and it only hurts you, of course. So Ari emailed us because he put out a public records request to see how much of your money the state of Washington has paid to an outside law firm to try to keep us from getting press passes. More than $50,000 so far they've paid to this Summit Law Group. And mind you, this case is at the very early stages. All we've gone through is this request we did for an emergency injunction to a federal judge who denied it, but it was just not getting involved at the late stage. Our case is at the very beginning. We haven't even gone through discovery yet. So the question is, how much of your money is the state of Washington willing to spend to keep the three of us from occasionally going down to Olympia, to occasionally ask questions in person of our elected leaders who should be up to the task of answering hard questions? That's insane. If it's $50,000, I would bet they spend $1 million, because this will go to the United States Supreme Court. It'll end up in the Ninth Circuit, which the case law is, you know, I think on our side, even in the precedent is on our side in the Ninth Circuit. But I imagine this will be appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. This is an issue that really has become, it's not just happening here. There are areas across the country where independent journalists are sort of in this gray area where some state houses consider them journalists, others don't. It's this whole wishy-washy thing. It needs to be settled. We need to figure it out. I mean, I think it's very clear. But I imagine the state of Washington, just to keep the three of us from asking questions occasionally, like 2-3 times a year, will spend $1 million in your money only to lose in the United States Supreme Court. How outrageous is that? They'd never do it if they were dealing with, you know, progressive independent journalists. We would never be in this situation. And the mainstream news that controls and has helped control the press passes, they would never allow it either. You think they would deny leftists independent journalists press passes? Absolutely not. So $50,000 so far, it'll probably be, I actually would guess, more than $1 million by the time this is all resolved, only for them to ultimately lose in the United States Supreme Court. I mean, I don't know how anybody's okay with that. Not to mention that the governor still, this past year, let me attend his press conferences. Oh, he allowed me. Thank you, Supreme Leader. And did I act up? Did I act outrageous? Did I ask incredibly hard questions that he couldn't ever answer? No, it was like, as much as I don't like the guy, I have to give him credit for just standing there and let me ask him questions, as he should. And the Senate, controlled by Democrats, gave me a press pass. So we have one chamber that doesn't want any dissent whatsoever at their press conferences. So they're willing to spend $1 million plus in your money to try to keep us out. Guys, it's outrageous. But, you know, they're aided by the media, and the media is letting them do it, and the media is taking the side of politicians over the side of independent journalists who they disagree with. And it's not a surprise, because the legacy media is totally captured by the Democratic Party. And here is an example of that. KUOW put out this story right before the show today. Transgender ballot initiative could require genital exams for Washington's secondary school students. First of all, who the hell wrote that headline? The ballot initiative is transgender? That's weird. I didn't know ballot initiatives had a gender. Transgender ballot initiative could require genital exams for students, regurgitating the lie that No Hate in Washington State wants the media to regurgitate. Whatever that group says, that far left extremist organization, No Hate in Washington State, that believes people should be hung from the neck until dead for disagreement on transgender issues, they say something and the media will just pick it up. And this lie has been debunked a million times. Yet KUOW will still say in their headline, oh, it could require genital exams. Why do I say it's a lie? Because in order to participate in athletics in Washington State, the WIAA already requires physical exams. And all you have to do is what you already do and add a little box, if it doesn't exist already, for your doctor to check biological male, biological female. And again, news to all of the parents in Washington State, unless you've never taken your child to a doctor, the doctor has seen their genitals. Because that's normal. It's called medicine. It's called practicing medicine. Monitoring your child for regular growth. And to all you adults, your doctor has seen your genitals as well. Let's all be adults here, okay? It's not some scary, disgusting thing. It's very normal. But let's read from this KUOW article, shall we? Student athletes in Washington State schools who want to compete in girls' sports would likely have to obtain genital exams to participate if a controversial ballot initiative passes in November. No, they make it seem nefarious. Likely have to obtain genital exams. And then they call it controversial. It's an 80% issue. What other 80-20 issue does the media characterize as controversial? When you look at it 80-20, that doesn't make it controversial. There's a couple insane people who think boys should compete against girls. Doesn't make it controversial. It says language in the initiative claims that kids are already required to undergo verification of their biological sex before they can play sports. But KUOW spoke with medical professionals and a school sports official who said otherwise. Paperwork used by medical professionals in sports physicals also shows that the initiative would be a departure from current state requirements for athletic participation. That's the point. You have to have an initiative because you want to change current requirements for athletic participation so boys can't compete. So yeah, there's going to be some sort of change. It says, according to the initiative, students would have several options to confirm their sex: a visual genital exam, a lab test to determine their genetic makeup, or an analysis of testosterone levels in the blood. The genital exams, which a medical professional can conduct without touching the child, would likely be the most accessible option for most kids. Now get this, it goes on to say, but it's unclear who would conduct the exams. Wait a second. In the last sentence I just read, it says the genital exam a medical professional could conduct without touching the child. And then the immediate next sentence is, but it's unclear who would conduct the exams. When they should take place or how to enforce the policy. And then it goes on to say, student athletes must complete a brief physical examination before playing on a team. But this checkup focuses on things like heart health, vision, and breathing. The state recommended evaluation form for doctors to use when assessing students. How are they saying it's unclear who would conduct the exams? And then they're saying the state recommended evaluation form for doctors to use when assessing student athletes. Like, who else, KUOW, are you suggesting would conduct the exam? That the students would just have to drop trow to a teacher or something? Have you lost your mind? You're saying in the article multiple times that doctors already do this. Then you're saying, well, we don't know who would do it. Because they're trying to like paint this picture that some pervert's going to pull down kids' pants and confirm their genitals. Do you see how stupid this is? The state recommended evaluation forms for doctors to use when assessing student athletes do not include verification of sex. Similar forms used by Seattle Public Schools, the largest school district in the state, don't require a provider to confirm sex either. Here's where it gets hilarious. KUOW debunks its own story within its own story. So here they have that sentence. Similar forms used by Seattle Public Schools don't require a provider to confirm sex either. And they include the link, okay, to the Seattle Public Schools form that they say doesn't require a provider to confirm sex. You just click on the link, and what is at the very, very top of it, people? Sex assigned at birth. Yes, literally the first thing you have to do, a doctor has to do, is confirm the biological sex of the child. How dumb can you be, KOW? You debunk yourself in your own story multiple times, I might add. Like saying it's unclear who would conduct the exams, and then saying twice, doctors conduct the exams. And then providing a link to the form used by Seattle Public Schools saying it doesn't require the provider to confirm sex when the first thing is for the provider to check the sex assigned at birth. And then there's this little part that says for females only. Have you ever had a menstrual period? How old are you when you had your first menstrual period? When was your most recent menstrual period? So yeah, there's multiple things in the form that would require the provider to know the child's biological sex. Yet you say the form doesn't require it. Is that stupidity? Is it late? Did you not just click on the form? Did somebody? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. And let me read that line again, because there's one other thing I want to debunk. So it says, student athletes must complete a brief physical examination before playing on a team. But this checkup focuses on things like heart, vision, and breathing. The state recommended evaluation forms for doctors to use when assessing student athletes do not include verification of sex. And remember, they set up at the beginning that the this requires some like added exam for kids, right? That's the whole idea in the headline, that this is going to be an extra step for kids. But you go to the WIAA handbook right now, the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association. Physical examination. Prior to the first practice for participating in interscholastic athletics, a student shall undergo a thorough medical examination performed by a medical authority licensed to perform a physical examination. So they're already doing it. It's already required. Your doctor knows your kid already has to get a physical exam. The doctor's not a moron. They know if they're looking at a boy or a girl. They already know. And then going back to the where it says the state recommended evaluation form for doctors to use when assessing student health do not include verification of sex. Student athletes must complete a brief physical examination before playing on a team, but this checkup focuses on things like heart health, vision, and breathing. And they say it doesn't require a provider to confirm sex. Here's another example of a form that does. North Shore School District. Male or female. And then under all the checked boxes that they're going to look at, head, eyes, teeth, chest, lungs, heart, abdomen, genitalia. So why aren't you already mad? Why aren't you protesting outside the North Shore School District saying, oh, you're doing genital exams for kids who want to play in sports? Because this is normal. Sane people know it's normal. It even asks the question, do you have any organ missing other than tonsils? So, you know, if you're a kid and you have a psychotic parent who allowed you to chop off your genitals or something, yeah, they would know about that, right? Are you taking any medication? So if you're a kid and you are on hormone therapy, that's already part of the exam. Females, have you had any menstrual problems? Your doctor knows if the kid is a boy or a girl. They just have to check a box. That's as simple as the initiative is. They're already taking the exams. They're already required by the state of Washington. A lot of school districts already have a genital exam as part of that process. The doctor just has to check boy or girl. And we can all be on our way, and we can all return to some sense of sanity, and we can move on to other issues, okay? Because I think we're all sick of it by now. We're done with it. We're done with it. We're not doing it anymore. So this initiative passing in November is a must. It's a must. I cannot even tell you how insufferable they will be on the radical gender ideology if this does not pass. So don't believe the lies and email KUOW and ask them why they're lying, lying, lying to readers and to listeners. Outrageous. All right. I want to do a follow up to a story I did yesterday on Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders attending a No Hate in Washington State event. And look, I didn't intend for it to be some big blow up between Sheriff Sanders and I. I like Sheriff Sanders. I don't agree with some of the decisions he makes to sort of cave to the left wing mob. And I certainly don't agree with him as documented in photographs, attending a No Hate in Washington State fundraiser. Because it's not just some community event. It's a fundraiser specifically for people who have called his supporters hateful bigots and have sent people to harass lawful signature gatherers and teenage girls. So it's not the same. There's no excuse for it. I wish he would just admit that it was a mistake to go, but I don't know that we're going to get that. But I do feel like it would be fair to point out that his opponent, Kevin Burton Crowe, who's way further to the left, would be terrible for public safety, was also at that fundraiser. So I want to add that because I think that that is fair, that both of them, both of the candidates for Thurston County Sheriff, were at this No Hate in Washington State fundraiser. So just a quick update I wanted to give you there. All right, coming up next, if you think moving your kid to a quaint little town will get them away from the indoctrination that they might experience in places like Seattle or Olympia, guess again. We'll discuss in our segment, Unbelievable. First, our friend Wes Jones is the guy to call if you're thinking about selling your home, maybe to move out of state, maybe to move across the street, maybe to downsize if you're getting a little bit older or the kids have moved out. Our friend Lon Westover, an Undivided viewer or listener, reached out to Wes when it came time to sell his house to move to Arizona. And he says the way Wes staged it and marketed it was fantastic.
And they stage it in such a way that it's so inviting, super inviting. You're looking at the pictures going, huh, how come I never think about putting my out like that? You got to do some things that just spice the place up so people look at it and go, wow, this is something.
Spice the place up. You got to have a pro, especially right now when there are so many listings on the market. Your home has to stand out if you want to get feet in the door during those open houses. And that's what Wes just excels at. So go from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes. Go to sellwithwes.com, peruse some of his recent listings he's been able to sell, and reach out to him for a free market analysis so you can understand what's happening in the market right now. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. Can I show the gift I got before we get to Unbelievable?
Yeah.
I have gotten many a great gift from you guys. Like this flag, it was a gift. These little, crocheted Donald Trump and stuff was a gift. I get all this was a gift from Matt Gilbert. I get lots of stuff. This is in the top. It's up in the top somewhere, okay? Let me see here. So before we actually, will you play the Unbelievable little opener quick? This is great. I made that open by myself, by the way. So, Chrissy and Kathy with Cat and Owl Creations sent us these mugs. Look at this. Are they like hand-fired, like in a kiln? So it's got my Unbelievable. You see the... And then it's got Unbelievable on this side. How fun is that?
So
and
cute.
The paint is adorable. It's got these little trees. Isn't
and
that cute?
She mentions it's dishwasher safe.
Dishwasher so. Safe. Oh, my great. Gosh. And she said, I have fabulous hair. So thank you very much. Dishwasher and microwave safe. Right. Cat and Owl Creations. I love this. I'm obsessed with it. I can't wait to use it all the time. So thank you
so
very
cute.
Much. All right. In a double dose of Unbelievable. This is just so much. When I see this image, so this was taken at Concrete Elementary School in Concrete, Washington, which I looked. Concrete, Washington has a population of 795 people. They almost got one pride poster for every person in town. So they hung up this display for Pride Month, and it's got a bunch of famous people who are LGBTQ+, and their bios and all of that. And then it's got all these different flags used for the pride movement throughout history. Some of them I've never seen, and I have no idea what they mean. But look, I think the goal here is similar to what we've seen. You might say, well, it's Pride Month and it's the history of Pride. And that's not so bad. It's not like those grotesque things where they're trying to, you know, what did we talk about on the show earlier this week? Teach kids about BDSM and have drag shows where drag performers are showing their thong underwear and butt cheeks to kids. I get it. This is more of a historical thing. But I really think the goal, again, is to teach kids as young as possible in elementary school while their brains are still forming that this is different. This is cool. You look at all the celebrities that they show on here. Lil Nas X, you know, David Bowie, Ellen DeGeneres. Although if you're trying to teach them, it's cool. I probably wouldn't use Rosie O'Donnell and Ellen DeGeneres as examples.
Well, all
Lily
of these.
Tomlin.
Right. I don't even think these are people that kids know.
Well, there's Cynthia Erivo, who's the chick from the... Wicked,
Oh, Wicked, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Anderson Cooper. Right. But it's like, first of all,
they're babies.
You're teaching them like, hey, you could be famous too. You've just got to be gay or transgender. And you too can be famous and up on a wall. But also, can you go back to the original picture? How much time did that take? Seriously, look how much time was put into that display.
I'm sure we paid for the ink.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was a lot of colored ink. But it's just like, you can't, if you think you're getting your kid out of the Seattle Public School District will save you. Nope, even in concrete Washington. Meanwhile, the Department of Education this week is showing us it is much more sane. Under President Trump, the days of allowing men and women's sports in private spaces are over. This June marks the second annual Title IX month. Oh, they're trolling. Oh, we will never stop protecting and defending women and girls. I love it. And look, I think the government should protect and defend everyone. I think the government should protect and defend everyone to make sure they have equal treatment under the law. Not special treatment. Equal treatment under the law. All right, let's do another quick unbelievable. I can do it with my cup if you don't have it. I'm seriously obsessed with this cup. It's like one of the best gifts I've ever been given. I love it so much.
You do love aliens.
I do love aliens. Thank you. All right. Again, our friend Ari Hoffman, he's just great at the PDRs lately. So he got some exclusive numbers from the Department of Corrections showing that the number of inmates receiving gender treatments in the Washington State prison system has surged 93% over the past 3 years. 93%. It peaked at 154 inmates receiving some sort of gender-affirming treatment in quarter one of 2026. So if you go back to quarter one of 2023, and that's really when they started to push all this nonsense, 75 inmates were getting some sort of gender treatment. So that could be boob job, bottom surgery, laser hair removal. Now it's 154. And that explains why they've spent more than $4 million of your money to give cosmetic surgeries to prison inmates. And look, some of these 154 might be like, what do you call it? Testosterone or hormone therapy or something. They're pretty, because it's like medical stuff, right? They won't give us a ton of information on an individual basis for inmates and what they're getting done. I like that picture, by the way. He's just getting a late, well, he could be getting a lot of things in that picture, but I think he's getting, I actually think you cropped out the one part of the picture that That's shows true. The laser hair removal happening. So now it just looks like a dude like getting pleasured Spy behind bars. Dream. What is that? Literally, this is a picture showing laser hair removal and she crops out the laser hair removal portion of it. Anyway, so yeah, 154 inmates now receiving boutique medical services behind bars with your money. Isn't that nice? Nicole. All right. Coming up next, the great foie gras
Don't
debate.
Ask me. All I know is I'm very, very against it.
Foie gras debate coming up next. First, summer means a laundry list of things to do outside your house. And if you're like me, you would just want to be enjoying summer. You want to be lounging, tanning, having a barbecue, not worrying about cleaning your gutters, cleaning your roof, getting a new roof installed in the middle of summer when you're trying to have friends over. So reach out to our friends with Valentine Roofing to get some of these to-dos off your to-do list. The team in the red van's got you covered. Of course, I'm talking about Valentine Roofing, the pros I trust with my home. And if your summer home improvement list has a new roof, siding, gutter upgrade, you owe it to your home to give Valentine Roofing a call. They have the best product backed by a lifetime warranty, exceptional customer service, seamless communication, meticulous cleanup. Plus, right now, qualified homeowners can take advantage of $0 down and 0% financing with 6 months deferred interest when you pay in full within the promotional period. Of course, financing is subject to credit approval. Call 206 Roofing. Schedule your free estimate today, 206 Roofing. And remember, when you see the red Valentine van, you know you're in good hands. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. All right, really briefly, I want to talk about this LA Times headline that's getting a lot of attention online since we've discussed the boys and girls sports issue a little bit. I would love to move on from this issue. Like, I would love to not have to talk about it anymore. We shouldn't have to talk about it. But it's such like a fact and fiction issue. It just, we have to put this period of time behind us so we can move on as a country. But so there's that A.B. Hernandez, that boy who keeps crushing all the girls in track and field down in California. Here's the Los Angeles Times headline. Shielded by love, transgender athlete A.B. Hernandez defeated vitriol stoked by Trump. And first of all, the picture, you can tell the girls aren't happy. And there's so many other images of the girls watching him compete and just blow them out of the water in the triple jump. And they don't look happy. They don't look like they love him. They look upset. They look like they wish some adults would speak up for them and would do the right thing. But just that headline and the story, and this is why the media, they really are the enemy of the American people. Gosh, I'm serious. You know, I consider myself obviously a member of the press. And I'm not saying every member of the press is an enemy of the American people. But the way they cover issues like this, I'm going to just talk about that KUOW story, outrageous. It says, Jura Pavalu Sr., A.B. Hernandez, stood on a hillside overlooking Veterans Memorial Stadium. A booklet of encouraging letters tucked under one arm and two gold medals hanging from her neck. Yeah, because she's a he. And he stole them from girls who should have won gold. It's just absolutely... The night before, A.B. and friends sat in a hotel room making bracelets. At first, they strung rainbow-colored beads. A.B. shook her head. Her colors were pink and gold. I know what looks good on me, she said. I want something that represents me. People see a flag, and that's not me in my entirety. I want something that's me personally, me entirely. And it's just like that's... And so that feeds the narrative that we're all hateful, horrible bigots. And we're just being mean to this girl who just is loving and wants... It's like, I've never made it about the trans athletes. It's not about A.B. Hernandez. A.B. Hernandez is doing what adults and people in positions of power allow him to do. Outrageous, the media. All right, the great foie gras debate. So the city of Portland has, on a vote of 7-5 in the city council, has voted to ban restaurants from serving foie gras. So this is like a delicacy. It's made from the liver of ducks or geese, but specifically those ducks and geese are fattened through force feeding, okay? It's called the gavage. So it's a process that lasts 10 to 14 days for ducks and up to 20 days for geese. Workers use a tube or funnel inserted directly down the animal's esophagus to pump a mixture of grain, corn, and fat, sometimes up to a pound of food, right down their gullet multiple times a day. And that is the process that makes foie gras. So at first I was like, really, are we really getting this granular at the city government level? And I was like, but then I was reading more on it and I saw the images. Don't Google it, by the way.
No.
Do not Google how foie gras is made. And I was literally like going to throw up.
I want to put those people in jail that do that. Sorry.
So I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll, because the small government person inside me is like, no. But the animal lover is like, I will go
rescue all of the ducks
and geese. So I asked you, do you agree with Portland's foie gras ban?
I don't think it goes far enough.
Nicole's like, the death penalty.
I think if you eat it, you should be banned.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Over on Locals, 60% of you say no.
Did you, if you Jay Smith, eat that, did you know how it was made?
Now maybe people, I think you can go change your vote if you want. Jay Smith says, the solution to undesirable behavior is not always a bunch of politicians writing a bunch of worthless laws. Portland has city employees and nonprofits feeding people drugs and just discarding the dead. I think there are other priorities. And that is a really good point.
they
care more about the health and well-being of animals than they do of people. And I think that's very telling. Yeah, Matthew Cook says, Portland cares more about ducks and geese than human beings dying in the streets. Virtue signaling is the priority. Terry Lee, there's no way foie gras can be produced in a humane way. So, yes.
So apparently, don't eat it.
When I do a show on Fridays, I can't speak. So that's why I don't do shows on Fridays. 70% of you on Patreon say no. Terry, libtards are taking your choice of food you want to eat away. Ban avocado toast, and they would crap themselves and protest for months. Steve, it's just another entry point for PETA to ban hunting, fishing, and farming. It's stupid. Matt says, this is ridiculous, and one of the great caused... Okay, Matt, you got to work on your writing. So I don't know what that says. Sean Miller, something I hadn't put much thought into. Kathleen, government getting involved in private business is a slippery slope. What will be the next food to ban? Sorry, Matt, I'll try yours again. You said it was a cause championed by Anthony Bourdain. He showed ducks and geese will freely walk up for their feeding. This is an attack by PETA where the... Oh, I see. So apparently Anthony Bourdain said that the ducks and geese will freely walk up and have the tube shoved down their throats. I don't know. I think it's cool. Right. I think it's horrible. Alice says, all I can say, FFS, eat whatever you want. Don't eat whatever you don't want. I don't think that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of animals to be... Okay, devil's advocate, Nicole.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of animals that... really inhumane things are done to in order for us to eat them. I mean, fish, we toss the little thing in there, get them a huh, and then we zip them in, and then you bash their head in with a rock.
Well, the bash it in part is supposed to be the quick, humane way of doing it. It's not that I disagree. I'm surprised I eat meat most days, but...
Now I'm starting to maybe change my opinion.
I do believe, you know, the circle of life, I think that, you know, like cows, for instance. I love cows, but you know, they're not good for much other than to eat. I think that's why God gave them to us. but messing with it to this extent, yes. I think is wrong.
Just and like even it
the
up and-
even the stinking what octopus bans that they work on with the octopus farming. We don't even have any, but they want to ban it. I'm cool with that too. Like, stop torturing animals for food. I think that some raise them humanely. The farmers that I know that kill their animals and eat them, those animals have the best lives. So
until their head gets chopped off. But
one
yes.
day. They have one bad day. But, you know, I mean, there are worse ways to die.
Force feeding for up to 20 days, a tube down their throat, that's up to a horrible. Pound of food.
That's not
okay. That is pretty disgusting. I tend to feel differently.
Yeah, although, and the chickens that are tortured and, like, you know, are top heavy and blah.
You know what I want to see, though? As much as I love Costco, mm-hmm. I want to see how the chickens,
yes.
the rotisserie chickens get that big.
That's what I mean.
I want to see how the rotisserie chickens get that big. Well, I don't like it.
They have very short lifespans, and they're given a lot of, they're genetically made to be very top heavy and whatever, so then they have to kill them real quick because otherwise they can't.
All right, let's stop talking about animal
I know,
abuse.
I don't agree horrible, with it. Horrible. I don't agree with that.
Find but something to God eat made, other than foie gras. Yeah,
it's like the hunting, like they're also trying to ban hunting in Portland,
yeah, and
right?
I don't agree with that, obviously.
Right, but that's the thing. It's because those animals are just living their lives, and I do believe that, like, that's the circle of life, and yes. we're meant to kind of be carnivores, and so I think that that's okay because they're just living their lives, and it's fine, but when we start messing with it, I'm out.
It is weird. Strange. All right, we'll get to comments coming up next. First, a whole bunch of you have taken the First Mark Challenge and had fantastic results. They're what we call First Mark Challenge victories, and not every victory looks the same. Your First Mark Challenge victory might be that you found out your current insurance is great and you actually can't save any more money, and I think that sends you with peace of mind and knowing that First Mark is an honest company. But for other people, they took the First Mark Challenge, they're like, Brandy, why did I wait so long to do this? I'm literally saving thousands of dollars a year. And I say, I don't know, I told you so, why don't you listen to me? firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. I use them for my home, I use them for my business. They're so proactive. Their customer service is fantastic. When you call them, a real human who lives in Washington State picks up the phone. It's just tremendous. firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Join the growing group of Undivided viewers and listeners who are not only members of the Undivided family, but members of the First Mark family as well. All right, comments from the live stream on the illegal sentenced after selling fentanyl and cocaine to the homeless.
Yes.
Hi. Grego, Seattle doesn't have a drug problem. That can be fixed. Seattle has a corruption problem. Yeah, probably.
True story. That too.
Necrotushu says, remember, Brandy, take a breath and have the camera slowly zoom out as you take off your glasses. Sometimes I do remember, need to remember to take a breath.
While you flip
I just
your hair
can't get over my Scott Pelley story just being so popular. It's like I have one memory of the guy from 16 years ago. Is that newsworthy? I don't know. I thought it was a funny story.
Apparently.
On the state spending $50,000 so far to crush the First Amendment, Rick says, shouldn't the legislature have to handle that lawsuit itself? Why is the executive responsible for their actions? Should come from the House's funding. Yeah, I think it's because the AG, and I never agree with this, the AG is the attorney for the government and for the people. I don't think it should be like that.
No.
Lockman, it's all about control, and they can't control you and others. Yeah. On KUOW's lie of a story about the initiative, Spinner Not Winner says the writer of this article obviously got their education at Evergreen State College. Yeah. Crafty Grandma Crispy. This is hilarious. We go from drag shows for kindergartners to it's not okay for a gender exam for students is not okay. It's so
it's true,
right?
They're
like, oh, we need to protect these innocent kids. Then it's like, but let's have grown men dance around them in thongs. Weird.
It's a good point.
Weird. On the local elementary, with its pride display, Ken says, Brandy, I raised my children at Concrete, spent 22 years there. The school was infected with gay pride 15 years ago. I didn't know. Nancy Campbell, $4.99 for the boop in place of Chuck. Appreciate it. On the LA Times headline about A.B. Hernandez, what on earth? Lolly Wilson, heartbreaking to see those girls sad. Yeah, I agree. Moon Goddess, you're bold with all kinds of spice. Friday shows are the bomb. And then John Thomas says, who stole the Seattle pig? Did somebody steal the Seattle pig?
Did someone?
No. Are you saying the Pike Place Market pig?
There's I think there's many, right?
Somebody, I think there's a few. I don't know what you're talking about. Did somebody steal a pig? Maybe he's making a joke about something else. Somebody tell me in the comments because I would like to know.
Whose picture did we show? Did we show something? I don't know.
Anyway. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, a lot of investors are focused on AI, crypto, tech, but are they focused enough on what's happening in energy markets? That's a question you should ask them and get a second opinion with our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital. Zach and his team will give you a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management. They're always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So Zach will explain to you how every market is driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, how that could potentially affect your retirement planning. So get that second opinion with Zach and his team. And while you're at knowyourriskpodcast.com signing up for that, you can also figure out how to follow Zach across all his social media platforms. And we'll have a new episode this weekend of Swamp Watch with Zach as well. Nicole, before I get to Sanity Check, while it's playing, will you grab me a tote and make sure you have the little thing up for our event
tomorrow? How long do you think the sounder is?
Not during the sounder, during Chuck's comment. You'll have at least a minute.
Got it.
Okay, let's get to our closing sanity check. Important things that need to be done that we should have done before the show. All right. So, of course, this Maine Senate race has become quite an ordeal. So Susan Collins against Graham Platner. And he's turned out to be like this crazy neo-Nazi who's been horrible to women. And there was this big New York Times article that came out that said he fantasized about raping intruders who would come into his house, but not in the gay way. Just the guy is a crazy weirdo. But of course, politics comes before anything else. So Chuck Schumer's having a press conference about this, and he's asked about these newest allegations against the Democratic Senate candidate in Maine. You won't believe how this went.
Are you satisfied with the explanations he's given for the controversies his campaign has faced right now? Are you concerned about what we've heard?
I met with Graham Platner today. We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate.
Yes. So you're saying that Janet Mills, your preferred candidate, there's been rattlings that she should get back in. You're standing behind Graham Platner, to be clear here?
We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate.
Yes.
Does Democrats taking time to Graham Platner, does that hurt the credibility in attacking Ken Paxton?
We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate. Any other subject you got? Any other subject?
Oh my
yes.
God.
Yes, you right there.
Do you believe that Janet Mills should unsuspend her campaign?
we're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate. Last one.
You have not said if you're still endorsing Graham Plattner. Are you still supporting Graham Plattner?
As I said, I endorsed Graham Plattner. We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate. Thank you.
Wow. Weak man. How many times can you say it? So embarrassing. All right. A couple things. So I would love to see you tomorrow in Snohomish. I'm going to be appearing at a Super Signer event with Let's Go Washington. It's going to be, if Nicole could put it on the screen for me to read, thank you, tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pursuit Church there in the parking lot in Snohomish, Washington. I would love to see you if you haven't signed the initiative to repeal the unconstitutional income tax. That is a very good time to do it. You can also drop off sheets with Let's Go Washington while you are there. So I would love to see you tomorrow in the parking lot of Pursuit Church, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Snohomish, Washington. What else? Oh, I was going to sell tote bags today. See, look how nice they are. Tote bag, got this on the back. You could put things in it. Like one of our truth teller bucket hats. Great, isn't it? One of our other hats. You could put all sorts of things in here. Isn't it great? Nicole's like, Brandy, you're terrible at this. Look at this. So cool for summer. Am I not a model? Bag. Beach bag, dog bag. Put your dog stuff in it. Grocery bag? Who there wants to go. Pay the government for plastic bags or paper bags? Ridiculous. All right, we'll see you back. Subscribers, we'll see you on Sunday. The rest of you who are not subscribers but should be, we will see you on the live show at noon on Monday. But if you'd like to become a subscriber in the meantime, go to undividedpod.com. That's also where you can shop the merch store, by the way. Undividedpod.com. Before you shop the merch store, I recommend becoming a subscriber, though, because you get emailed a little discount code. Undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. See you back here. I don't know how many times I said that, like 25. All right, have a fantastic weekend.